You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Jamie Williams. And Jamie represents the El Paso Holocaust Museum, and they're going to be working with UTEP. And Jamie works with both entities, but she's going to talk about tolerance. Jamie, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I mentioned that you work with the El Paso Holocaust Museum and in conjunction with UTEP as well. So would you mind clearing that up for us?
Absolutely. Well, I am a staff at El Paso Holocaust Museum. I'm the education director there. And in that position, I have been fortunate to work with many UTEP professors, faculty, and students in the programs that we do. So we have a nice relationship in that way.
And one of the things that we've talked about over the years with different scholars in sociology and in history, the fact that a lot of times the history goes unnoticed. And you working at the El Paso Holocaust Museum, you want to talk a little bit about a program that you're doing, I guess, with elementary students about tolerance. Would you explain that, please?
Absolutely. Well, we believe that the lessons of the Holocaust cannot be taught at too young of an age. Even though most of the graphic material we don't teach to young students, we focus on tolerance and lessons of bullying and treating one another with fairness and acceptance. And that's where we take the lessons of the Holocaust to a very young age. So one of our programs that we do every year is a summer camp. And that is focused on 8 to 12-year-olds. We have a different theme each year, but generally the theme is to teach tolerance to these young students in a way that they can understand through an anti-bullying focus or diversity focus as a way of helping them to grasp the Holocaust in their own terms.
Just out of curiosity, Jamie, the people who go visit the museum, and perhaps you've gone to schools to talk to them, how many of them are aware of what happened in the Holocaust?
Most have a general idea of what the Holocaust was. Many of them do not understand the overall context of the Holocaust, the vastness of it, how many people were actually murdered, the events that led up to it, and the overall picture. So they have a general understanding. It's pretty small. The younger grades really have very little background knowledge of what the Holocaust was.
When you're talking about this program, what age group are we talking about?
Well, we do programs for the elementary school, which is starting about 8 years old. And then we do programs for middle school, high school, and college age as well.
The middle school and the college, I would imagine that by then you would hope that they know a little bit about. But that's not always the case because some of this generation does not read as much as they do. But then again, I would imagine social media kind of helps you in this area as well.
It does. It gives them some understanding, but again, it's a small glimpse of the overall picture of the Holocaust was. And it comes down a lot of times to the teacher and what they're allowed to do in the classroom, how much time they give to the Holocaust. That's where we see a lot of understanding come from. We do guided tours of the museum, which usually our largest audience are middle school students. And what the teacher does in the classroom determines so much of their understanding. And then you can see students whose families are very involved in history and in teaching their children these lessons and this history. That makes a very big difference, but it's not a huge number of people.
Teaching tolerance, you're talking about that. With the Holocaust, of course, you're talking about what happened not just to the Jews, but homosexuals, to Jehovah's Witnesses, gypsies, Catholic priests, other lots of people. So when you're talking about tolerance, how do you bring it to today in this generation, in this time and date, compared to, you know, 1940s?
Well, that is a challenge that we face all the time, especially as we get further removed from this history, as many of our survivors are passing away due to old age or their health. So the further we get removed from that history, the more of a challenge that becomes. So our mission is to put it in a personal lens that people can understand. So it depends on the age level. But for the younger kids, we talk a lot about bullying and how they are witnesses to that on a daily basis. They have been victims of it. They see it happen to their friends, maybe have even been a bully at one time in their life. And so that gets the conversation going of what does it mean to treat someone unfairly based on a reason that is usually not really a reason at all, and how can that be stopped, and how can one person's actions make a difference?
And what education do you have for parents? As far as I know, there was a PSA, public service announcement, that ran many years ago, and they're asking these children, what is segregation? What is racism? And they say, I don't know what it is. I think it's a sickness. And some people say, well, yes, it is a sickness. What message would you take to the parents? Because ultimately, the children are not born like this, but then they learn this either from their parents or in school, their friends, etc.
Oh, absolutely. It's a very much a learned behavior. So our focus is to do community programs for parents, trying to get entire families to come into the museum. For instance, we had a traveling exhibit on Curious George, because the background of that story is that his creators were Jewish refugees. And it was a way of getting entire families to come into the museum and to teach these lessons at a level that everyone could understand. So it did have a huge response, where we had parents with their children come in and we could talk to them about not just the Curious George story, but the larger story of the Holocaust and how that is still relevant today. And so our challenge is making this history relevant for parents, for their children, for really all age levels. So we do that mostly with outreach programs, with lecture series and special speakers, things like that, exhibits, any kind of program we can think of that will bring in an audience of a very diverse background.
You said that you work with college audiences as well, and you've worked closely with a lot of our professors here on campus. When you come on campus, do you speak to a specific class? Do you hold an exhibit at the Union? Or how does this work, Jamie?
Well, it does depend on the program. We have many professors that actually bring their classes to us. There have been times where we've gone to the classroom, but primarily they bring their classes to the museum so that they can see what we're talking about. The museum exhibits give that more personal picture, that more personal lens. And so classes like Dr. Ezra Capel has a very good relationship with us, and he brings his students often. Corinne Peschka also brings her students. Many professors offer extra credit for their classes to come to the museum. That's mostly what we do. We have had programs here on campus for genocide awareness, working with the Social Justice Initiative here on campus, where we brought in a genocide survivor who spoke, I believe it was last year, spoke on campus. So we try to do it both ways, where they come to us and we come here.
If they come to you, and perhaps some people aren't even aware that we have a Holocaust Museum, and you have moved already, I guess it's a long time since you guys moved.
6 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If people go to this museum, what can they expect to see? Can you kind of guide us through?
Oh, absolutely. Well, to answer the first part of that, most people do not know that we have a Holocaust Museum in El Paso, and it really is a treasure that we have it here. We're one of only 13 Holocaust museums in the entire country. And when you come into the museum, it is designed in a way to really put you in that story. It begins with an exhibit on pre-war Jewish life and who were the people before the rise of Nazism, before they became the victims of the Holocaust. Who were they? We believe that's a very important thing to establish before they go into the actual exhibits. Then it is a chronological telling of the story. So it talks about the rise of Nazism, then the use of propaganda, how tables turned during Kristallnacht, then the advancement into the ghettos, the final solution, which was the concentration camps and the killing centers like Auschwitz. Then we do focus on the resistance fighters, the righteous among the nations who were the rescuers, the liberation, and then we have a memorial room to our survivors. It really tells a story in a way that just gives you that mental picture, or a more personal picture. Many of our survivor stories, our local survivors, their stories are told throughout the museum. We have their testimonies. We have their artifacts. It makes the Holocaust more real to actually see those things.
You mentioned, of course, the rise of Nazism, and then the night that it exploded. Basically, that's when people were wondering what's going on. And you mentioned the German name for it.
Kristallnacht.
It translates to
Night of Broken Glass. Mm-hmm.
So can you explain what that means for people who may not be familiar with this part of the history?
Absolutely. During Kristallnacht, that was on November 9th and 10th of 1938. So we just commemorated the anniversary of that specific night. There had been quite a lead up to this night of laws against the Jews, of persecution and discrimination. But this is really when the tide turned. There was an assassination by a young Jewish man of a low-ranking German official in response to some of the things that were happening to his family as they were caught between Germany and Poland. They were refugees and they were not being allowed refuge in Poland. And in response to what was happening to his family and to the overall Polish-German Jewish populations, Herschel Greenspan, which was this young teenager, assassinated this German official. And that was really the Nazis' excuse. This would have happened. This was almost inevitable for this event to occur because the plans were already in place for what the Nazis were about to do. And what they did was masquerading as German civilians, the SA soldiers, Hitler Youth, dressed in civilian clothing, began to destroy Jewish homes, businesses, burning down synagogues, dragging families out into the streets. Men were beaten. They were arrested. About 30,000 Jewish men were arrested and sent to concentration camps, and another 100 people were killed. And the reason it's called Night of Broken Glass is because of the destruction of the Jewish homes and businesses and the synagogues that were burned to the ground. And this is really what changed, which really set other things in motion, because it was the first organized mass violence against the Jewish population that the world witnessed and remained silent in response to those atrocities.
You mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you're trying to work with children as young as 8. And I have noticed that there are a lot of books aimed at young adults and also children about the Holocaust, written from a child's perspective, etc. And that seems to help a lot as far as what you all are trying to get the message across. Is there something like that available at the gift shop, or do you read some of those stories when you go present?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the best ways to tell the story of the Holocaust. When we go to schools, we take an analogy book. It's called Terrible Things. That's one that we always bring with us when we go to elementary schools, because it starts the conversation. It's told through animals, told through the terrible things are representative of the Nazis. That's one book that we use often. But any exhibit that we do, any special open house we do at the museum for families, we always have a story time, which one of our volunteers will read a story to the kids, and it gives them that picture of what's going on. We also have a bookstore, a museum store, and a children's section in our library. We have a study center that's attached to the museum. And so we try to keep that very full of all of the books coming out for the young grades.
If there's a teacher out there listening or a school official and they want you to come to their school, what do they need to do? Because I know that during this Education Week, Education Month, you're going to be focusing on reaching
yes.
out.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we are always at their disposal. That's what we're there for. They can contact anyone at the museum. They can go through our website and fill out a speaker request form. They can call the museum. They can call me specifically, as I do the arranging for those things, or they can email me. And all of that's on our website, which is ElPasoHolocaustMuseum.org. And all of that can be found there. And we are very happy to go out to the schools. We use some of our volunteers who also give tours. I myself go out to the schools as well. And that's what that helps accomplish our mission, is to get that story out there. So we are happy to do that anytime.
Well, Jamie, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Jamie Williams. Jamie is with the El Paso Holocaust Museum, and she's been talking about the outreach that the museum and UTEP are doing to reach out to young people, middle school, elementary school, high school, and even college, to teach about tolerance and about the atrocities that happened during the Holocaust. And again, if you're interested in perhaps having Jamie or somebody else come out to your school, you can go to their website, and that is, again?
At ElPasoHolocaustMuseum.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.